It's time for the Monday Waffle, a podcast dedicated to all things West Australian Football League. Your hosts Michael Stamp and Jack Davidson are joined by Tara Carlin, Bonnie Rayner, Chaddy De Hare with expert boundary riding information, analysis of last week's game, forecast of next week's game. Did you get your tips in? Did you get your tips out? What are you planning to do next weekend? If it involves West Australian footy, just make sure you start your week with the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to another edition of the Monday Waffle. I'm Jack Davidson. Today I'm joined by Bonnie Rayner and Michael Stamp. Guys, what's going on?
A few surprises in store from this round.
Very exciting. Yes, Stampy?
Yes, Subi up to second on the ladder, but equal on points. So it's really exciting at the top of the ladder now, but it's also pretty close down the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, Peel have moved off bottom place and Perth have taken their spot. So Katie and I are spot on for the Wooden Spoon prediction from the start of the year.
How about the tipping on the weekend? I hear myself got Subiaco right.
We'll get on to that later. Stampy, Stampy have some great stuff about some amazing Western Australian waffle players for the draft.
Yes, Jack, six players that have actually played league games this season have been invited to the AFL Draft Combine. So it's where they do all the testing and that sort of thing in front of all the scouts. 12 all up, but the players that have actually played league this season, Aidan Anderson and Connor Blakely from Swan Districts, Josh DeLuca from Subiaco, Mitch McGovern from Claremont, Jared Pickett from South Fremantle, who played on the weekend making his debut, and Clem Smith from Perth. So some really good signs for young footballers in WA.
Exactly. So fingers crossed they get picked up.
It's Monday, so it's the Monday Waffle. Keep listening.
First games first, Subi versus East Perth, 97-69. Subi and East Perth now sitting neck and neck on the ladder, only differentiated by 0.02%. Stampy.
Really close up top. East Perth do have the game in hand, so they'll make that up this weekend. So 28 points the margin in the end. And it was pretty close up until three-quarter time where Subiaco kicked a few late goals, but they just ran over them in the end, Bonnie.
So East Perth haven't lost since the last time they versed Subiaco in round five, but at Medibank Stadium by 24 points.
Yep.
So in that clash, Subiaco were up by six goals and took away with the chocolates again this week. Now they had less kicks, handballs, marks, hitouts, and therefore disposals than East Perth. But what is it that Subiaco do that just overruns the Royals?
Well, the fourth quarter, they just moved the ball with great speed. Myself and Katie were at the game. It was just really good ball movement from defence to attack. Kyle Horsley was instrumental in that last quarter, kicking two goals and about 10 touches. He was outstanding. Chris Phelan and Short Hildebrandt were also really good with 23 disposals. But yeah, it's their ball movement from defence to forward. And obviously getting into Matty Boland, leading the goal kicker.
That's now the difference between him with that's what he's ahead by for the Bernie Nail account.
That's right. And they're both really great informed teams. You know, Royals only had a 52% kicking accuracy, but Subi significantly better on 68%. Subi have stopped East Perth's go for 11 straight victories. They've put them in their place, I think. It's going to be very interesting 4 weeks left.
The Royals just missed too many opportunities in that third term.
Is this a grand final preview?
It's anyone's game at the moment, as we'll discuss later on. Fourth place isn't even secure with East Frio's loss.
I think with Swan Districts, with their form lately, and especially on the weekend going down by 56 points to West Perth, I reckon now they're dropping down to third. I reckon that will be the grand final preview.
Yes, that's what I was hoping to hear from you, Bonnie. I think it is for sure. And
yeah,
if East Perth want to actually win, they've got to beat Subiaco, which they haven't this season.
Yeah.
And here's a little stat for you. East Perth and Subi finished 1-2 only twice in waffle history. And East Perth have beaten Subi in the grand finals both of those years.
Ooh.
So they're going to have to change things if they are going to get the win.
And fun fact, Subi and East Perth have played 322 games against each other in their waffle history. Subi had a 42.55% chance to win and they've drawn twice against them.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Our guest for today is West Coast Eagles and East Perth ruckman Callum Sinclair. He's also famous for the West Coast Eagles podcast Squawk Talk, and you can hear that every Monday arvo. Callum, tough loss on the weekend, but a really good game from you. 24 touches, 10 marks and 34 hitouts.
Yeah, it's going okay. It's you know, good to put some consistent performances together and put your hand up for selection, but we didn't come away with the 4 points, more importantly, and probably let ourselves down a little bit in the weekend, I think.
And what did you make of the oval? Obviously, last week's game, it was a bit of a slippery slide and a lot of water. How did you find the conditions this week?
To be honest, it's a lot better than what it was last week. Listen, I don't think the ground's going to be in terrific nick for the rest of the year. It's pretty heavy. Not great for a 200-centimetre dangly bloke no. running around. But it's a lot better than last week. But, you know, fingers crossed it can shape up pretty well for finals time.
Now, coming up against your former side, Subiaco, twice now you can't manage to beat them. Do you see them as one of your main competitors this season for the Premiership?
Yeah, they're probably, probably other than us, they're probably the informed team in the comp. I think they've won their last 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This on the weekend, we probably had just as much of the ball as what they did, although we just coughed it up and their pressure we couldn't handle. So, listen, they're the team that's got us twice in a row now, so not too happy about it. But, you know, finals come round, I think it'll be a different story, hopefully.
Is that what Brian Dawson focused on after the game, that you just coughed it up and turned it over too many times?
Yeah, well, to be honest, we kind of had a pretty ruthless assessment of our skill level and our ball handling, you know, throughout the time. I'm not sure what the stats were, but we had our hands on the footy, probably, if not a lot more than what Subi did, but just things like simple handballs and simple kicks, we just couldn't execute. And then it happened. Subi turned it over and capitalised on those opportunities.
Now, one of your main focal points of your team is your ruck combo with Paul Johnson as well, and also when Scott Lysa plays as well. Obviously, an important part of your team.
Yeah, exactly right. So, listen, it's probably one of our strengths to have all three of us playing at the same time. It's pretty, I wouldn't personally want to be coming up against all of us three in a game, but listen, it probably gives us a bit of a... saves our legs a little bit for the latter half in the year if two blokes can take the load a little bit more, and then there's a good rotation policy going on at the moment, so we're all kind of feeling pretty fresh coming in September.
And speaking of that, how have you found your role has changed since you've been at East Perth? Are you rucking more, or you're spending more time in the forward line?
I probably not too much, really. I think last year I probably rucked a lot more than what I did this year. Probably with kind of the we've got two other really good ruckmen, also Fraser McGuinness, who can pinch hit as well. Probably found myself playing a little bit more forward, just based on a rotation, really. But this is all going pretty well. But you know, I think we need to make all the ruckmen need to make sure they have a have an impact in the forward line. If they can do that, I think we'll be going pretty strong.
And now, all the best for Swalk Talk. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. And
all
the best for this weekend, whether it's East Perth or the Eagles.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
The Swannies didn't quite get the breadcrumbs. They couldn't score for the first half of the game. No goals to 7, and their only point came from a rush in the first half.
I think they caught what West Perth had the last 2 weeks. They only scored 3 goals for 2 games. They really caught the West Perth bug.
Yeah,
not kicking goals.
What's happened to this competitive, dominating team from just even a few weeks ago?
I think they've peaked too early. I think they've got a young side, and they just can't go through with it. At the moment, I can't really see them being any sort of threat in the finals.
Yeah, well, the Falcons had 9 goals on tap before Jared Blight scored for the Swans.
Now, the Swans managed to redeem themselves slightly. They won the last quarter, 24-27, but that means that 27 of their 37 points came in the last 30 minutes of football.
It's just ridiculous. But this also means good news for the Falcons. They can still keep their semi-final hopes alive after this one.
Big game this weekend against the Sharks. If they get the win there, they're only 2 games out from the top 4. So their finals hopes are still somehow
alive. Still alive with 4 games to go.
Now, if you're a fantasy man or a Dream Team fanatic, there's not Dream Team for Waffle, but if you would have had Aaron Black or Shane Nelson in your team,
you would be laughing.
4 touches.
And a goal
each.
4, that's about 150, I reckon, if my math is correct.
That is just outrageous. Your hunk of man is just really coming through with the goods.
Well, he plays for East Perth, Jack, so I don't really know what we'd go along with that direction. But
I was thinking someone else.
Rowan Kerr was also really good with 39 touches. Bad news for Swan Districts. Captain Talon Ames leaving the field on a stretcher.
And Graham...
After a concussion. So let's hope he's okay.
And don't forget, Graham Jetta got reported in the last quarter to add bad to worse.
As did Matthew Rogers and Tim Geppen. They were all reported, so it's not a pretty day for the Swans all round.
Marcus Adams is actually playing really well. He started the season playing centre-half forward with Nick Rodder for West Perth. He's actually been moved back for West Perth. So Bill Monahan's really shuffling the team around, really hoping to get some more diversity in that team.
It's the Monday Waffle!
The old derby, South Frio versus East Frio, 108-65 to the Bulldogs. South Frio won by a solid 43 points. This is only South Frio's fifth win of the season, and East Frio should be weary about making the finals now, guys.
Well, we didn't expect it last week, did we? We all said East Fremantle, apart from Katie, would win pretty comfortably.
They were visitors and underdogs, so big surprise there.
Yeah, well, this loss could mean Claremont or West Perth slipping into the top four, and who would have guessed that even 5 weeks ago?
What do you think will happen?
If East Frio continue on this path, I think that Claremont will slip into fourth.
Ooh, big call. They only need one win to really solidify their spot, but look, the way they're playing,
Claremont are sitting on 78% though, yeah. And West Perth have 109. So I reckon if either of those two teams sitting just outside the top four are going to crack into it, it will be West Perth, but we'll see how they go.
Yeah, look, there's only four rounds of the 2014 season left, and the Bulldogs were just cool, calm and collected and in control the whole time.
Bonnie, the O'Briens both had really good games for the Sharks, didn't they?
Each had 26 touches, so that's a good day for both of them. Jack Perham as well, he gathered 20 possessions and 3 goals. Robert Young and Tom Howlett both had 17 touches.
Some bad news for the Sharks. Star midfielder and one of the Sandover favourites, Brad Dalziel, went off with a knee injury in the second term and didn't return. So just goes from bad to worse for the Sharks, which is just disappointing to see their season crumble sort of like that. For the Bulldogs, I mentioned earlier about Jared Pickett, a star of the future, I think, in the AFL. He kicked 2 goals, 3, 10 touches, and just really showed his talents. He's only 18 later this month. So really exciting to see him play, and good to see Paul Hasby blood the youngsters for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, he's really ticking all the boxes, isn't he?
Ashton Hams had 33 disposals, so that was a good day for him. And Tim Kelly also had 30.
Yeah, and Hams and Ben Saunders were actually injured last week, so it's good to see they got up the game. Saunders kicking 4 goals that would keep him in touch in
Poor
the leading
Ben
goal
Saunders.
Kicker.
He's probably think he's having a great day getting 4 goals, and should have been enough to put him on top of the Bernie Naylor, I reckon, seeing as that was the difference at the end before the start of this round. But
it's not meant to be.
Not the case with Matthew Boland getting 3.
Hi, this is Basil Zemplis. Mondays, can't wait for Mondays to come around because you know what that means. Online, there it is, my brand new edition of the Monday Waffle.
And now to Peel versus Perth, 140-75. At Perth, with a string of injuries and exclusions, they didn't have their top 22 out on field, which made it a bit hard for them as it already is. And Peel only have 5 players playing this game that weren't listed with Frio. You know, the Demons were up at quarter time, but just couldn't hold on to the lead, losing it by halftime, guys.
Well, celebrating their 350th waffle match, Peel, they ran up its highest score of the season and moved off the bottom of the ladder, which they'll be absolutely stoked with, Jack. And yeah, a few inclusions that really helped the Thunder.
Anthony Morabito and Colin Sylvia, they were lucky to be able to rely on those after getting dropped by Fremantle.
Hayden Crozier chipped in with 30 possessions, and Brendan Jones, keep on going, mate. 29 possessions, really good for the Thunder as well.
Jacob Ballard wasn't far behind with 28, so they had lots up there with the high 20s and early 30 possessions.
Now, Bonnie, you've got a special comment that you'd like to make.
This is just for you, Jack.
Thank you.
Almost worthy of a drum roll. Now, Perth had the lead at quarter time, but Thunder bolted away with it. Dominating, reaching the highest score of the season, as we've said, it was enough to get them off the bottom of the ladder. And now Perth is faced with the demon of being at the bottom of the
table.
Here we go.
Well
done.
All
the jokes are coming.
Yeah,
now,
well
we've got
done.
Bolted and demon. I did my best.
That was one hell of a joke.
It's spiraling out of control here on the Monday Waffle. Michael Wood kicked 5 for the Thunder. Max Duffy, 3 goals. Monday Waffle's own Matt Tabnar chipped in with 2 goals as well. Perth season just goes from bad to worse, guys, doesn't it? There's no positives really coming out of this.
Their 11th straight loss?
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately so. And yeah, they've got South Fremantle, I believe, this weekend. So
they just need the break. They need to overcome their injuries and come back and start afresh next season.
They're probably just hoping for the quick end of 4 weeks, get a new, solid, strong-headed coach that's going to be with them all season that can hopefully deliver results. Rumours still flying around that it could be Harves, Mark Harvey, ex-Frio coach, as we know. Who knows where it could lead them? Who knows if he'll even get the job and what sort of changes will come into a place next season for such a team that had a lot of potential at the start of the year that's just fallen flat on its face.
It just needed a lot less disruptions for their season so they can focus on winning the ball.
They've actually got Claremont. My mistake.
It's
the
Monday.
Whoa!
Yeah!
The Swan Districts tricked us all this week in tipping with no one picked them, actually. So Katie's draw didn't get over the line. But Jack and myself only got 1 point each. We got Peel, correct? And Stampy and Katie got 2 right. Stampy, you went with Subi, which was different from all of us. So that paid off for you.
Don't know why you all didn't do that.
All right. And Katie, South Fremantle, congratulations. I think we all need to, you know, apologise for that because we all made fun of you for choosing that and it's paid off.
Thank you. Yeah, I took the risk. I actually didn't think it was that much of a risk, to be honest, though.
Really?
But, yeah, you told me they'd lost, what was it, 7 of their past 8. So there you go.
Well,
good tipping from me.
Well done. You made one up on me that round. So you're still 8 behind, bottom of the ladder. But you're on 38. I'm on 46. Jack's one ahead on 47. And Stampy, you soared to 2 clear this round. You're on 49. You're one off the half century.
About time.
And to round 20, we have the all games are on Saturday at 2:05 p.m. We've got Claremont versus Perth at the Showgrounds.
Yeah, this is going to be a real interesting one. I think they've only drawn once, Claremont and Perth. You know, Katie, maybe you want to take that into consideration this round. And Claremont statistically and actually looking good to beat Perth this weekend. They're in form, and unfortunately, Perth has had a string of bad luck lately, as we've just discussed. Last time they met, the Demons won, but that doesn't look likely to me, so Claremont's my tip.
Some interesting fixtures this round, because most of the teams have only played once, and it was earlier in the season. Like, this game is round one. Perth won by 65 points, but I can't see Claremont losing this, going for their 4th straight at the Showgrounds and needing to keep their finals hopes alive.
I'm tipping Claremont as well. I think they'll be way too strong.
I'm going to go with the Tigers as well. I think 11 straight losses for the Demons. I think, sadly, they'll make it 12. Next game of the round, we have the Bulldogs versus Peel at Fremantle Oval.
As Stanby just mentioned, the last time a lot of these teams met, it was a very different story. The last time South Fremantle and Peel met was in round 9, where Peel defeated Souths, but I'm thinking the old Bulldogs will get on top this week, especially after a win in the Derby. My only thought, though, is that Peel have nothing to lose at the moment. They're a bit confident, I think, after coming off the bottom of the table finally, but that doesn't. But there's still only a few rounds left, so I'm going to pick the Bulldogs, Bonnie.
Thank you, Jack. How about you, Katie?
I'm tipping South Fremantle. I think they'll back it up with another win on the weekend.
You'd be mad not to after getting it right this game.
Yeah, for 2 for 2.
The Bulldogs for me as well, Bonnie.
See, I want to be different so I can get one up on Jack, but I think I'd be walking myself into a bit of a pitfall.
Do it. No, just choose Peel. You never know.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going with the Bulldogs as well.
Just pick Peel, your favourite team.
So next we have the Swans versus the Royals, and this one's in Bunbury.
That's right. East Perth beat the Swans in a nail-biter last time, but the Swans' form seems to be faltering at the moment, and though East Perth lost over the weekend, they'll be looking to make sure they try and stay in top position over Subiaco and try and clean up as much percentage as possible. East Perth for me, Bonnie.
And I'll be tipping East Perth. Hopefully, I know we had a loss last weekend, but I think... Yeah, I think they'll get up this time, and it's a good opportunity as well, like a regional game. It's a Swans home game. It's in their zoned area, but a good opportunity for some Busselton people from, which is East Perth's zone, to go have a look at the game.
Yeah, as you said, great for the Waffle to get down to Bunbury. Lots of Swans players are from Bunbury. As we said, Connor Blakely, who's going to be in the draft this year, is a Bunbury boy, so he'll have a few mates around as well. And, yeah, both teams looking to bounce back from losses. East Perth, if they win, will go top of the ladder outright. So I'm tipping the Royals to record the victory here.
So am I. I think they'll bounce back. And last game of the round, we have the Falcons versus the Sharks at Arena Joondalup.
Yeah, this is a really do or die game. I think West Perth could make that trip a little bit easier into the top four if they beat East Frio, but East Frio definitely want to make finals, so it could be anyone's game. Stampy, what do you reckon, mate?
West Perth for me, Jack. Can't see East Frio playing well. They haven't played well for about a month now, and I'm just... West Perth probably have more to play for. They played really well on the weekend. They've forgotten their horror week where they kicked 3 goals in a week. I like the way West Perth played on the weekend.
Yeah, fair enough. I might just do that to irk you. I think I might go West Perth. But no, you made some very valid points that, you know, East Frio and West Perth both have a lot to lose.
Sharks have won both games this season, though.
Yeah, but as we've been talking about this whole tipping round, it's anyone's season. You know, all these teams played each other only once before, and all the other teams had won. It was Perth, Peel, and Swans last time, and I've got a feeling it's going to be the other way around.
I really don't want to go back on my word because I said a few weeks back that the nail was in the coffin for the Falcons, and so I'm hoping it still is. So I'm tipping East Frio.
You got to risk it to get the biscuits, Katie.
Dare to be different, Katie. I enjoy it. I'm going to go with the Falcons after a 56-point win. I like their form as well, Stampy.
And that's it for this round of the Monday Waffle. Join us next week for a very interesting look at what's just happened. Keep kicking goals, guys.